Are you ready to get your sports banter on? Brian Henninger, love child of Albert Einstein and Howard Cosell, with a body chiseled by Zeus himself. Brandon Sharples, a man who could beat Mike Tyson in a spelling bee. Together, they form the At Odds Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Thursday, March 23rd, I think? March 22nd, 2018, and we have an awesome show in store for you guys today. I'm Brian Henninger, and we will be talking the NCAA Sweet 16. We'll be talking the NFL Draft 2018, previewing the quarterbacks and quarterbacks only, because screw any other position. And without further ado, let's bring in my co-host for the evening. He is silky smooth, Brandon Sharples. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, it's been a little bit of delay. We didn't have an episode on Tuesday. Monday? Is it Monday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have the episode on Monday. Not much going on, man. Actually, yesterday, I play online poker sometimes. And yesterday I won a buy into this tournament for $42. The buy-in was $5,000. And I had some opportunity to freaking make some good money, and I just went cold deck, man. Went cold deck. So I didn't get to capitalize on my opportunity, but it was still fun to play in that kind of high level tournament. That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So other than that, man, just been writing and not much else, dude. I got a movie script I'm working on right now. It's actually pretty funny.
Oh shit!
Oh, actually,
it's gonna be a comedy. It's gonna be a comedy.
It's kind of a comedy. I'm writing the script right now. I got the opening scene done. I did it with I was talking to my friend Kate Miller about it, and I kind of got the idea while talking to her. But it's like, it's going to, the opening scene starts off with the, a country, like down to earth dad. He's, you know, your typical Midwestern and Southern dad that, you know, everything's hard work, blah, blah, blah. And his son is like one of those douchey hipsters, and they're having dinner, and the dad's ordering steaks, and his son's like fucking vegan, is ordering salads and shit. And his dad just starts going off on him about him getting a damn salad and stop being a pussy, and he's tired of watching his son drive around in a damn Prius while his best friend's son drives a fucking diesel. It's a shit like that. It's a pretty cool premise. So basically the whole entire movie is going to be based around the son and his relationship with his dad, and basically like a coming of age story about this kid, about, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's going to be going off to college and it's just shit like that. It's going to be pretty fun.
Are you going to mention me in your Oscar speech?
Yeah, man. It's actually going to be pretty funny, I'm telling you. I don't want to talk about the scene right now because I got to refine everything, but it's pretty funny, man. I'm going to enjoy writing it. I've got quite a bit of pages. I got like 40 pages written already. So,
damn.
They say page you write in a movie script, each page is a minute on screen.
So
you want about 110 120 pages, somewhere around there.
Well, that's before cuts even too, so
yeah exactly.
Probably want more.
Yeah, well, that's what they say. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
I've been crazy busy. Like, there's just been so many like special banquets and all this crazy, these events that I've had to cover for the local paper. Like, there's the primaries coming up, so like there's just all kinds of political events I've been going to, which means a lot of free food, which is pretty awesome. So been saving a lot of money on my grocery bill. And yeah, it looks like we've got a couple callers. So Brandon, I'm gonna let you, I think we're gonna be talking first about the NCAA tournament stuff, or not the NCAA tournament, but the NFL draft stuff. So
yeah. Who's our caller?
I want to get you started, and then I'm just going to screen this, make sure that it's the right guy. So, We'll get started with the upcoming NFL draft and all the craziness that's been going on. We've had multiple trades going on recently, and I want to get your thoughts first on the trade, especially I'd say the Jets. So we'll start there.
Sure. All right. Yeah, the Jets traded up to the number three pick. Everybody obviously knows that they're going to take a quarterback. They signed Teddy Bridgewater as kind of like a bridge to the next future of that franchise. And I think all signs point to Josh Rosen, because I believe that Sam Darnold's probably a lock to go to go number one to the Browns. So Browns fans can basically stop arguing about who to take number one, because it's going to be Sam Darnold. And I think that the Jets will end up taking Josh Rosen. However, there is a trade scenario that I have in my head that it's actually getting buzzed now, that there's a couple teams that either the Cardinals or Buffalo will move up to number two, so they could take Josh Rosen. And then you got Josh Allen that could fall to three. So you can see three quarterbacks taking 1, 2, 3. Which I think would be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty wild. So without further ado, let's bring in a guest. He is calling in for tonight's show, Derek from Toledo. You want to talk the quarterbacks in the NFL draft, so we're going to give some of the floor to you. So where do you want to start, Derek?
We can just start with the top few picks or so. I know Sam Darnold's probably going consensus right now, number one. I don't know if he's necessarily the best quarterback that's available in this pool of quarterbacks coming out this year. He's definitely one of the most talented. I would say he's probably the most plug and play ready as well. But I think there's some skepticism there on just a lot of the quarterbacks in general.
It seems like each quarterback has their own like flaws, like with Rosen. I'll start with Allen. I mean, he's the guy that's got the arm, but he doesn't have the accuracy and he's still pretty raw. With Rosen, what I saw recently was some people were talking about he had some weird hitches with his delivery, like he steps off his front foot or something instead of his back foot or something. I don't remember what it was, but it was something that people were seeing at his last pro day workout, even though he impressed with his accuracy and everything. And then, obviously Baker Mayfield, people saying he's too short and all that shit.
I know both Darnold and Rosen have kind of a low release. They have they bring the ball clear down to the right or the left hip respectively. So that, I know that's thrown some scouts off a little bit, but I think both Darnold and Rosen get past the hitch they have in their release and something of that nature.
Yeah.
What?
Hey, what's up, Derek? Yeah, this is Brandon. I think what a lot of people got to remember is that every QB draft class has been picked apart. Every elite QB has been picked apart prior to the draft. There's really never been a pretty much surefire QB in the draft. I mean, since Andrew Luck, which obviously injuries have hampered him, but other than Andrew Luck, and I really don't remember any QB coming out of college that was basically labeled can't miss. And I don't see this being any different. There's going to be hitches in everybody's game. Like Rosen's mechanics are actually really good. That's like his number one attribute, I'd say. The thing about Rosen is that he's a little bit immobile compared to the other guys, and his low completion percentage is based on when he has to be out of the pocket. So when he's in the pocket, his mechanics are flawless. It's just he doesn't run very well compared to the other quarterbacks. And I think that's why Sam Darnold, to me, when I was arguing earlier to a lot of people about Sam Darnold, is that Sam Darnold, he's only 20 years old, which I think he might be the youngest quarterback ever taken number one, if that is the case. He's got a lot of room to grow, but from a cerebral standpoint, he's way ahead of his age. And he does have a little bit of like a wind up throwing motion. The only thing that I think that really doesn't matter, because it's all about timing and speed, and he's got a really, really quick whip release. So it's not like Tim Tebow or like Vince Young, where you had that wind up and it was slowing down his throwing release and that, was causing problems with timing. He still has the quick release. It's still timed up there with the best in the draft. So I don't really see an issue with that. Same with Rosen. Rosen has a really quick snap, so his timing's perfect too. And I think that with Josh Allen is the reason that he's got a quick release too, but he kind of winds up a little bit too. But he doesn't have the same touch on the ball that the other guys have, and I think that's something that he's going to have to work on. That's why his completion percentage is so low. And, you know, he's working with a 56% completion percentage for his entire career at Wyoming. And a lot of people attribute that to him having, you know, a less of a supporting cast at Wyoming. But you got to understand, Wyoming's also playing a lesser schedule compared to these other guys. And he should be able to be making those plays. And that's just something that I noticed about Josh Allen, is that his inaccuracies are not based on the surrounding cast. It's, you know, it's based on him. And that when I watched him on pro day, his deep balls were even falling short on somebody with such a cannon arm, is because he's inaccurate with his mechanics. His feet, his footwork kind of sucks. And he was throwing the ball like super high, like he was skyrocketing his deep ball. So instead of putting him more on a line, and that was becoming a problem. So I don't really like Josh Allen that much. I think that obviously his physical attributes are awesome. He's off the charts. He's athletic as shit, and his arm of strength is crazy. It really, truly is. I was watching some film earlier today on him, and he was throwing some zip on them balls, man. So when he's on point and he gets some time, he's awesome. But I think that, you know, he's got the longest way to go. And you never know with guys like that. Like, you know, he could be Big Ben or he could be Paxton Lynch. You know, you never know. You never know. So I still think Sam Darnold is, like you said, the most NFL ready QB right now. And what's cool about that is not only is he the most NFL ready QB right now, but he's 20 years old and he has so much positive going for him that he's going to get better. Mm-hmm. He's going to get better. Well,
whoever the Browns draft is draft not going to need to be NFL ready right now. Yeah, you got to turn down your audio a little bit because I'm echoing pretty bad over there. But, yeah, that's the thing is, with the Browns getting Tyrod Taylor, they can afford to draft somebody that isn't NFL ready and maybe has the best potential. So could that change the Browns draft strategy? Because, you know, Darnold, it seems like a guy that can plug in right now, even Rosen, that they could plug in right now. So if you're the Browns, do you go with somebody other than a quarterback, number one, because you know that Darnold and Rosen, you know, maybe you don't need them right away?
Yeah, you do. You can't pass a quarterback. You can't pass on a quarterback. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If the Browns draft Barkley number one, it's that they had a bad draft, in my opinion, especially the way that these trades are going. They could probably get Barkley at number four anyways. So, and they might even trade out of that anyway. I mean, they honestly could get Barkley later in the draft. I know that sounds crazy to people because everybody got so enamored with Barkley after his combine, you know, stats. But at the end of the day, he's a running back. They just signed a running back to a 3-year deal who's a little bit injury prone, but they got Duke Johnson. So they're going to be able to pound the ball. They're going to be able to throw it out of the backfield. You take Sam Darnold because Sam Darnold, you know, I'm hyping him up as like as Superman, which I believe that he is one of the best pure potential passers that I've seen in a long time. But he still needs to be refined a little bit. So sitting him on the bench behind Tyrod Taylor for a year is perfect for me, honestly, because it gives Darnold time to kind of if they have a problem with that baseball throw he does, they can fix that. And they can fix his fumbling issues, which is his one knock on that I have for him is he needs to hold the ball tighter to the body and he fumbles too much. But the interceptions are not a problem for me because I was looking through them. There's actually a highlight film on YouTube of his turnovers. And a lot of his turnovers are – dude, his offensive line was horrible. Like horrible, not just okay. It was really bad. It was one of the worst in the Pac-12. And that really came to light when they played Ohio State because Ohio State has that elite defensive line. And if you watch even on the highlight tapes where they're trying to highlight, you know, the positive potential of Sam Darnold, he's running for his life in half those plays, making plays. And if you watch, the line breaks down so fast. And, you know, there's a lot of things negatives that were going on at USC that, you know, he could use that year chilling in Cleveland, getting better. And I think by his sophomore year, when he finally takes the helm and he starts, I think Cleveland would be in a great place. They have a ton of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And I think Sam Darnold makes too much sense to not take number one. Like, Derek, what you got?
My only concern, I guess, is if the Browns do end up taking Darnold at number one is, obviously, the Cleveland fan base has been itching just for a 500 season for God knows how long. At what point, if Tyrod makes a few mistakes, do you start calling on Sam? There's going to be some kind of conflict there and something like that. I'm just curious to kind of see if they do end up taking Sam Darnold number one, how that works out. But back to Josh, or Josh Allen a little bit. I think he is your biggest, quote-unquote, project. If he goes to the right team, say, for example, someone like New York, someone who already has a proven quarterback that can sit behind for 2-3 years, whatever have you, with the right coaching, I think he could really be a big boom kind of candidate. I think if he is coached up, he is someone that could really shine really well. I know there's been a lot of rumor, a lot of talk with Josh Rosen as kind of a hard student. He doesn't take teaching very well. Out of the main 3-4 quarterbacks, I think if anybody's going to be a bust, I think Josh Rosen would probably be your biggest bust candidate, just because of that, with injury concerns as well. But one guy I personally like myself, I've been talking about him for probably the past 4 to 6 months, is Luke Falk out of Washington State. I absolutely love the guy, and I'm probably the only person on the eastern side of the Mississippi to actually like him, but I absolutely love the kid. His biggest knocks is just the project-style offense they ran over at Mike Leach with Washington State. But besides his injury concerns, you got to think he's got a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He has a 69.5% completion rating over the course of his entire career, which, I'll be honest, it's a little inflated just because about 2/3 of his passes were 10 yards or less in that offense.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to pass up a second, third, fourth round pick on something like that when he's the all-time Pac-12 leader in yards. And he's got a proven track record of just being a successful quarterback. Maybe not on the biggest stage, but out west in the Pac-12 in a Power 5 conference, it's hard to pass up something like that, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. You know, I get it. He's also, he's played a lot. You know, he's a 3-year starter, and he played half the games on his freshman year. But he got worse every year. And that's something that, I take into consideration. Every year, the touchdowns either stayed the same or went down, and he also threw more picks, and his yards per average was like 7, which is, I think, that's the lowest of all the guys that we were talking about. So you're right. He's in a dink and dunk pass happy offense. They had Gesser. He threw all over the place. They had a lot of guys that threw all over the place in that offense. And every time Mike Leach has ever been anywhere, all his QBs put up astronomical numbers. I think that Luke Falk just has a really low ceiling. He's been in nothing but West Coast offenses. He threw really bad at the combine.
Could be a high floor,
like,
though.
Really bad. Huh?
I said he could be a high floor guy, though.
Well, maybe. But those are your backup quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Those aren't guys that you're gonna start in your franchise. I don't have a crystal ball. So, like I was telling you earlier on Facebook, Derek. Like, I'm not gonna roast you. That's not my intent. My intent is just to get people's ideas and why they think this way. And if I disagree, I'll tell you why. And I'm not gonna call you stupid. So, yeah, if you like Luke Falk, that's cool, man. I get it. He does produce on the field, but like I said, every year he got worse. He's not as athletic as the other guys, and he didn't throw well at the combine. And I just don't know if he's going to translate well to an NFL system, like a West Coast system or anything like that. So, he'd be a project you can take in the later rounds, and I'd have no problem drafting him. Maybe the Browns would draft him too in the 5th round or something. You never know.
I've got a sleeper prospect for you guys. I don't know what you'll think. Chase Litton, Marshall quarterback, 6'5". You know, he's got like all the physical attributes, throws for a lot of touchdowns and a lot of yards, but he does throw interceptions. So is he a guy that is on your radar at all?
No.
No, not at all?
No, not at all. I don't really like him too much. I think Mason Rudolph is a guy out of Oklahoma State that could be a pretty decent prospect. He's running out of that spread too. But he could be pretty decent, like a late round flyer. I know a lot of people are talking about Lamar Jackson being a quarterback that you could take second or third round, but honestly, man, I don't like Lamar Jackson at all as a quarterback. I think he can be electric, and obviously he runs, he's like a better version of RG3, but I'd say like one out of every four of his deep balls literally looked like it was shot out of the sky. And it's not just a little ducky, maybe a little underthrown. I'm talking like it looks like it falls out of the sky where it lands a good 2-3 yards behind the receiver. Like he's going to get picked off like crazy. He's good at those quick little slant routes. He does have a live arm. Like he's kind of Vic-ish. He has that little Vic snap throw, little whip it. They call it like a whip. But he throws hard on those intermediate routes. But when he goes deep, man, his deep ball's got to be the worst of all the QBs in this draft. But we're talking deep, like every QB. He's probably the worst deep ball thrower of all of them. So I don't like him very much. And I think at the end of the day, he'll probably end up going to a different position once he realizes this quarterback, because you think it's not going to work out. Kind of like the dude out of who's the Browns receiver out of Ohio State. I can't believe I'm blanking on this.
The Browns receiver?
Yeah, he's a quarterback for Ohio State.
Well, I say Paul Pryor was, but obviously he's not there anymore.
Yeah, he's not on the Browns as far as I know. He's on the Redskins last year.
I was trying to figure out his name. He was on the Browns. Is all I'm saying. Yeah. Browns are the ones that converted him to receiver. Yeah. Browns are the ones that converted him. I don't like him. I like a couple quarterbacks but my main focus right now is taking Sam Darnold number one. What I like about him is I remember Derek, we were talking earlier. His leadership was up to par, but his leadership is actually like a huge quality of his. It's been raved about by his players, his teammates, a lot of coaches around the NFL. His interviews went extremely well. He's known for that. He's known for being a good leader. That's like one of his big things. And in the NFL,
that's actually my knock on Rosen. Like he's got all the mechanical skill, but I don't think that he's a good team leader. And he's a bit of a partier.
Yeah, they talk. I just actually heard somebody just text me saying that Pryor got signed with the Jets today.
Huh.
So the Jets had added Pryor. That's pretty interesting. But yeah, no, Sam Darnold, he's got great leadership. He has no trouble on or off the field. So he's got that going for him. He's squeaky clean. He holds the huddle extremely well. So I think he has everything you want that comes naturally to a quarterback that you can't teach. Sam Darnold has those great instincts. He escapes from the pocket extremely well. He runs well. He calls plays at the line. He audibles well. It's just he's got to work on the turnovers, and I think that of all the things that you can knock any player for, any quarterback, the turnovers can be fixed. There's usually like very small mechanical problems when a quarterback has some turnover problems. It's usually not a cerebral thing. It's usually just the fact that they're dropping the ball to their hip too much and shit like that. So I think that Sam Darnold definitely has the highest ceiling, even though Josh Allen has, the stronger arm, maybe a little bit quicker. But I still think from the intangibles and tangibles, I think if you mix everything together, Sam Darnold has the highest ceiling. And I don't really think there's too many quarterbacks in the NFL right now that had that ceiling coming out that Sam Darnold has. Like I said, he's 20 years old. He's got a ton of talent. He's got a ton of room to grow. Even though he's NFL ready now, it's such a perfect situation for Cleveland to stick him on the bench behind Tyrod Taylor. And the thing about Cleveland, they're in that rebuild mode. They can't go anywhere but up, obviously. Even if Tyrod struggled a little bit, I don't think they're going to force Darnold in there because they're not in a win now mode. They're in a year two, year three of this rebuild mode that we're next, not this year, but next season when Darnold's, second year in the league. That's when I think they plan to start making some playoff pushes and maybe making some key free agent signings in the line, stuff like that. Because I think at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to be struggling in Cleveland is going to be their offensive line now that Joe Thomas is gone. So maybe Cleveland needs to think about trading down that fourth pick and taking the guard out of Notre Dame. And I think that could go a long way in solidifying
guard, though,
that off.
Or tackle?
No, he's a guard.
Because they have excellent guards already, the Browns.
Yeah, but they're gonna have to slide one off the tackle.
Antonio to left tackle.
Yeah, yeah. I already read a thing about that. They're looking to move him over to left tackle because there's no tackle in this draft really. It's a very, very weak tackle draft. Like it's one of the weakest in a decade. But the guard out of Notre Dame, he's gonna be awesome. And he's one of the better guards in the history of the college game. Like his grade out is skyrocketing. So that's why basically they're saying he's gonna be a top 10 pick. And guards usually don't go top 10 like that, you know. So it's usually a tackle. But yeah, he's super high. So maybe the Browns can trade down. Maybe the Cardinals can take the Browns' fourth pick. You never know. Or Buffalo. But yeah, Browns have some options after they take Darnold number one. They're really solid across the board. They're going to need a safety later.
The top picks in the second round too.
Yeah. They got plenty of options, man. And honestly, why would there's Barkley and then, you know, Penny's really good out of San Diego State. His measurables are pretty damn close to Barkley outside of like the bench pressing 29 times and stuff like that. But his yards after first contact, like triple Barkley's. Barkley's soft once he gets hit. And if he doesn't have a hole, Barkley gets swallowed up in the backfield for losses. And when he plays, people talk about Sam Darnold struggling against Ohio State. What about Barkley? Barkley housed that kickoff. After that, he was swallowed up. He was terrible the rest of the game. He had 2.1 yards per carry. He only had 44 yards of offense. He was not good. He carried the ball over 20 times, and he only had like 44 yards. So, yeah, well, he's not very good.
Speaking of performance against Ohio State, we haven't talked hardly at all about Baker Mayfield. So I want to get your guys' thoughts on both of you on Mayfield. I know the biggest thing going against him is he's 6 feet tall. But is there anything else that's going against him other than, you know, attitude or whatever? I want to hear from Derek first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know how much this is necessarily going against Baker. I don't necessarily think the attitude is going to be a problem. He does show signs of leadership. My biggest concern, I guess, is how the offense that he runs currently at Oklahoma is going to translate into a pro-style offense. He's got the arm strength. I think he's got the talent. He does get a little bit too happy feet for me sometimes when he's in the pocket. I think he still has an instinct to kind of run first whenever he sees trouble. But he's really improved the pocket presence. He's really improved his arm, both strength and accuracy. I think it translates somewhat well to the NFL game, but I just don't think he has the ceiling of someone like Rosen, like Darnold, or Josh Allen myself.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's one of my biggest concerns is that a lot of the Oklahoma quarterbacks put up big numbers. Even Trevor Knight did. And he's been running that spread. I don't know how he's going to do under center all the time. On top of that, I was watching his pro day film today, and he was doing a lot of 5-7 step drops, and he was still throwing these little, you know, 7-yard hitches, and like he wasn't going downfield much, and mm-hmm. he was checking down a lot, even on the deep routes, like he was checking down to the second receiver, and. One thing he's good at is really, really accurate on the short to intermediate throws. He throws a good ball. It comes off pretty good. It's not slow. He's got good velocity on the ball, but he is short. And I don't think that with the offense that he ran at Oklahoma and being that short, I'm not sure that's going to translate very well to whoever he goes to. I think it's going to be a project. I think that. Basically, he's the type of player that if you get him in the right situation, he can probably be a pretty good quarterback. The problem is that he's going to get drafted by a team that needs a quarterback now. Like Buffalo. They're going to want him to start probably. So he needs to be surrounded by talent to succeed at the NFL level, in my personal opinion. And I don't think he's going to go to a team that's going to be able to hand him that. So he's not going to be like Dak Prescott where he was handed the Dallas Cowboys. You know what I mean? So where he had Zeke in that line and Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, a security blanket. He's not going to get that situation, I don't think. So, and that's the only way he's going to succeed, because that's the only way that Dak Prescott can succeed. If Dak leaves Dallas and say you stick Dak on, like, I don't know, Buffalo, he's not going to be very good. I don't think that Dak's that good. So, and I think Dak is a very similar player to Baker Mayfield as far as skill set wise is concerned. And I think that unless Baker gets lucky and falls to a team that has the pieces, maybe Denver, I don't think that he can succeed. I think the best place that he can play is Denver. That's my personal opinion. I don't really like Baker that much. As far as like his NFL prospects concerned, he was a hell of a college quarterback. Can't deny it. The stats are awesome. They pop off the charts. But I don't like anything about him in any other place but Denver, because Denver has, they have a lot of talent surrounding him right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And their offensive line's not too bad. Their defense can carry him around. So I think that's the only place that he can go and succeed right now.
Yeah, my issue with Mayfield is I think he's going to be great for those short and intermediate throws because of his accuracy and all the grit and everything that he brings to the table. But he doesn't have the best arm strength I'd say he's got the weakest arm strength of all the top prospect quarterbacks that could go in the first round. And if you can't make that deep throw accurately, then you're going to have a lot of trouble. I mean, the only guy that I can think of that didn't have like a cannon arm and was still able to have a ton of success in the NFL was somebody like Peyton Manning. But I mean, he was one of the more intelligent quarterbacks of all time, like with reading defenses, and he still had the measurables, like with the height and everything else.
Yeah.
So like that's at least where Peyton could make some things up. And with Mayfield, like I think he's going to have a lot more trouble, especially reading defenses after the snap. If they like disguise their defense, because he's going to have some trouble seeing over those, 6'6" linemen.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, one thing is Baker Mayfield actually has had a lot of accuracy success down the field in college. He had a really good deep ball. And I think he was one of the top rated deep ball completion percentages in the country. So I don't know.
Does that have anything to do with his receivers, though?
I don't know. It could be, but he completed a high percentage of deep throws. That was one of his strengths coming in into the combine. But I don't know how that's going to translate into a different system. You know what I mean? Where he's not five wide, and he's not getting as many one-on-one matchups that he needs to have. I think that Josh Rosen. I know that. Derek's saying that he's probably, more of a lock to be a bust than the other guys. I think that Josh Rosen has the highest floor. I think that his mechanics are perfect. And if he gets in the right offense, Josh Rosen can be a solid starter for a long time. I don't think that he's going to pop off the charts at anybody or pop out of the off the TV at anyone. But I think he can be an Eli Manning. Philip Rivers type of player. He can make any throw on the field. His arm strength's pretty good. He's accurate. His mechanics are good, and he's super smart. He's cerebral as it comes. And I think that his learning curve is going to be really high. And he's if anybody's going to be able to take on a big playbook, it's going to be Josh Rosen. So I think that Josh Rosen has the highest floor, and he's got a good ceiling. I think Josh Allen and Sam Darnold have the highest ceiling, but I think Josh Rosen has the highest floor of all of those guys. As long as he can stay healthy. The health concerns are my biggest concern for Josh Rosen. He's been hurt quite a bit. So I think that if you can keep him healthy, get him behind a decent line, Josh Rosen can win games for you, and he can take you into the playoffs and then some. So, I mean, look at all the quarterbacks that were in the playoffs this year. I think Josh Rosen's comparable to all of those guys. So I like Josh Rosen. I think Josh Rosen can be really good. But
moment of truth time. Let's talk about where these guys go. I think we can all agree we're pretty sure Sam Darnold goes number one to the Browns, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So who's the next quarterback taken and who takes them? I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but I want to get your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, Derek, you can go ahead and give your opinion.
I would say Josh Rosen is probably going to be the second quarterback off. He would be at pick number two, but the question is who will have pick number two.
Mm-hmm. So if the Giants don't trade down, do they still take a quarterback? Because with them making that Pierre-Paul trade.
In my opinion, yes.
You still think they would take a quarterback?
Yes. Eli's probably got 3 years left in the tank.
I'm surprised you said three.
Yeah, I don't think he's got three left. But so I think that the Giants are going to trade that pick. They're in rebuild mode, I think, right now. And they can get a haul for that number two pick because there's a lot of teams that are still needing a quarterback. I think they'll get a decent haul in for the number two pick. They're in rebuilding mode. I think they're going to trade that out. And I think it's going to be either Buffalo or Arizona and whoever is willing to give it up. So say it's Arizona. I think Arizona is going to take Rosen because Arizona needs a quarterback now. And they got some pretty decent playmakers. They still got a roster that could probably make the playoffs if with the right quarterback. And, David Johnson comes back healthy and Fitz has another year or two in him. And they got some good guys on that squad. But if it's Buffalo, I still think they'll take Josh Rosen. So Josh Rosen's probably going to be number two, but it's going to be traded. Giants are not going to take him. If Giants keep that pick, I could see them taking Chubb at number two. He's a difference maker pass rusher. They just traded Pierre-Paul.
That's actually my big thing is I think the Giants take Chubb and the Jets get Rosen.
Yeah, it could be. The Jets are going to probably end up with Josh Allen.
They're taking a quarterback no matter what, the Jets. I mean, they didn't trade up to three to fuck around.
No, they didn't.
Do you think that it could go quarterback's first three picks?
Yeah, for sure. I actually think that's probably what's going to happen. I honestly think that's why anybody that wants Barkley to go number one as high as a fucking kite, because why would you take him number one when you could probably get him at number four, honestly? I honestly think that the Browns could trade that number four pick anyway. So I think when it's all said and done at the draft, I think the top three picks are going to be quarterbacks, and I honestly think that you're going to see four quarterbacks taken in the top 10. I think all of them that we all the quarterbacks that we talked about, with the exception of obviously Luke Falk, are all going top 10. It's going to be a huge QB draft. I think Barkley ends up in Cleveland anyway at number four, unless they trade down, and they can still get him then either, because I think that the only teams that are going to trade up for a quarterback are already in the top 10 anyway. You know what I mean? So I think that the Browns will end up getting Barkley at four. Browns will hit a home run in this draft if they can do that. If Browns can get Sam Darnold and Barkley, I mean, that's a home run right there. And I have concerns about Barkley and his toughness and the ability to hit a hole, but, you know, he's definitely worth the flyer at four. So I like it. I like this draft for the Browns. I think they can come out huge. And obviously they have all those picks in the second round. And if they trade out of the four spot, they're going to have probably another first rounder and another second rounder. Mm-hmm. So they're stockpiling picks, and they can solidify that that offensive line.
And they've even been unloading picks, like to get all those players added to their team, like Jarvis Landry, and they didn't even have to give up that many either, which is pretty nuts. Second round picks to get all these guys added to their team.
Yeah, if the Browns can sneak in an offensive lineman in this draft in like probably the second round, and he works out, I mean, this team could be really good. They have all the pieces. They just really need
the Browns' issues are tackles, because their interior line is insanely good, like with Zeitler and Batonio. Tuggle from the Green Bay dude at center. What I'm a little concerned about is
there's just not a lot of tackles in this draft that you want to take that high, but they can definitely get it. They can definitely get them in. They can definitely get them in the freaking. Well, they got the Notre Dame had an awesome line. The top tackle in the offensive line or the top tackle and the top guard are both from Notre Dame. So, I mean, you can basically pick your poison on that one. Notre Dame's offensive line this past year is historically good. So, they got that Mike McGlinchey. He's the tackle. He's the top tackle in the draft. So, he's going to be pretty damn good. And I don't know who they can get late. That Orlando Brown, remember he had that really, really bad combine. He was super slow.
Oh, yeah.
Like a 6-second play. Yeah. He's up there. He's like the ranked number two. They got a couple of guys from Georgia and in UCLA that are all right, but there's some big guys in here that they can get late flyers on that could probably start for the Browns next year. So I think that they need to take a tackle in the second round, maybe a couple of them. And I wouldn't be surprised.
I hope they don't go Brown. I don't want a project. I want somebody they can plug in right away. Like maybe Colton Miller from UCLA.
Yeah. Well, they got Connor Williams is really good. He's from Texas. You could probably get him in the second round, late second round. But the thing is that Orlando Brown's tape is really good. So maybe he just doesn't have
it's the measurables that were terrible.
Yeah. Maybe he's just a game time player. You know, you always got those kind of guys. So I think the Browns are just a couple O-line picks away from being legit. And honestly, Bengals are on the decline. Ravens are on the decline. They're trying to climb back in with some. They made some offseason moves, but outside of Pittsburgh, Browns could compete for that division in a couple of years.
They could compete for this year.
Maybe. They were going to win 7 or 8 games this year. They had a good, but their team now is the best they've had since they've come back in '99. This is the best Browns team they've had from top to bottom. So I think that,
especially if they have Darnold.
Yeah, of course. If they have Darnold, they're not going to play Darnold. I don't want them to play Darnold. I want them to sprint back and just learn. And I think Tyrod Taylor is good.
I am tired of the Browns drafting a rookie and then throwing them in there and then watching them get murdered.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, everybody always talks shit about the Browns and why would you take a QB number one? Look at all the busts they've had. That's because they don't take the best quarterback. They keep passing on all the franchise quarterbacks and taking people like Brandon Weeden and Johnny Manziel and Charlie Fry and all these other guys, trying to make a project out of them. And it doesn't pan out, and then everybody says Browns don't know how to draft a QB. Yeah, they don't know how to draft a QB because they're not drafting the right QBs. Now they can't do it. Everybody doesn't want them to take a lot of the Browns fans don't want them to take a quarterback number one because of all these prior busts. But no, you've already passed up on Big Ben. You passed up on Carson Wentz. You passed up on Patrick Mahomes. You passed up on Deshaun Watson. Like, how many of these franchise quarterbacks are you going to pass up on to try and get a project in the second or third round? Now is the time. You are surrounded by talent. You just spent all this money to get all these guys into Cleveland. Now's the time to pull the trigger on that top QB. Don't trade down. Don't take a running back. Now's the time to get your franchise quarterback because you can finally let him grow. You finally got a supporting cast if he has to play later this year. You finally got a supporting cast for him to succeed. On top of the fact that you have a veteran QB that can play the whole season, get him ready for next year. He's your future. This is beyond perfect for Browns to take a quarterback. You will never get a better situation for any team than they are in right now to take a quarterback number one. They don't have to force him in there. So this is, if they're setting themselves up for the future, this is perfect. Take Sam Darnold and you're good. And I don't think that Josh Allen is 1 year away. I think Josh Allen's going to be, he needs to be chilling for a little while. So okay. Yeah, and
I think
you gotta
that
look
should
at
do it on our quarterback talk because we got a little bit of Sweet 16 action to go over yet. So, Derek, I just want to thank you so much for calling in today, man. You were a lot of fun to talk to, and we're more than happy to have you back sometime.
For sure. I'll be back. You know it, guys. Thank you again.
All right.
Hey, no problem.
Thanks, man. All right. So without further ado, let's switch over to NCAA Sweet 16 action, and it's – you know, normally I don't toot my own horn, but toot, toot.
Yeah.
I'm fucking slaying it with my NCAA brackets. Obviously, The Sweet 16 started tonight, and I had seven of my Elite Eight still eligible. And then, of course, two of them have already qualified today with Loyola, which Brandon also picked, so I will give him a pat on the back for that as well, and Michigan advancing to the Elite Eight. So I am looking really good. Kentucky just took the lead in the second half against Kansas State for the first time all game. So they're up 36-35 with 16 minutes to go. And look at this. Florida State is up 9 at the half on Gonzaga. So if Florida State wins, I mean, that's going to bust a lot of the remaining brackets that still had a chance against me, I would think. Because I think there were some people that maybe had a flyer on Gonzaga. And if Gonzaga loses, like, Michigan should have free reign to the Final Four.
Maybe. So, I don't know, man. Florida State looks to be rolling. Florida State smoked Missouri. They beat Xavier. If they beat Gonzaga, I mean, they're going to be on a roll.
Like, actually, you can see Gonzaga was up like 32-31, and Florida State hit like 4 3-pointers in the last 2 minutes of the second of the first half. I mean, it was nuts.
My Midwest bracket is done already. Like, I don't have anybody left.
Ouch.
I have 3 games I got correct in that whole bracket. That's terrible. Oh well.
Yeah. The only mistake I made was I picked Missouri over Florida State in the first round because I had Missouri doing everything that Florida State is doing, and I probably would have just picked Florida State to do everything too. It was which pisses me off because I really thought Missouri was a lot better than they showed, and then because I thought they were going to go out there and beat Xavier and Gonzaga, and instead it looks like Florida State's going to do it. And that's where people are already telling me, like, dude, if you had Florida State instead of Missouri, you'd be one of the top brackets in the country right now. And I'm still like 97th percentile. So I would be like 99.9 percentile if I had Kansas State in there.
Who's your final four?
So close.
Who was your final four?
My final four was Kentucky, Michigan, Duke, and Purdue. The only one I'm really worried about right now is Purdue because their big guy got hurt and he's not allowed to play with that broken elbow. I mean, Kentucky's getting a fight from Kansas State, but I think that they'll pull this out. If Kentucky loses, I'm done because I have Kentucky winning the null. Which is, I'm pretty sure I'm the only person that picked Kentucky to win it all. Purdue is the one I'm most worried about. I think at this point, Villanova is probably going to win that region. Like, even if Purdue makes it to the Elite Eight, which I don't even know if they'll do, I think Villanova is going to be too much for them. So
out of
all the one seeds left in the tournament, Villanova was the one I respected the most, and I probably should have sided with them, but we'll see what happens. I mean, there's still a long ways to go yet. They haven't even played their Sweet 16 matchup game, which is tomorrow.
Hey, man, I think that you might be – you have a chance to, like, win this whole entire thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at
– like, I know that I'm
looking at
like, I have the most potential points of anybody in any of the brackets I'm in at and any of the stuff. Like, I did the ESPN with you guys, but I did some with Phil Wagner, all the guys at AdFilm. I filled out a bracket for them, which was basically the same. And then I did some – with another friend of mine that they have like 80 people and I'm like either first or second right now, but with the potential, like I could score like 80 more points than the guy in second place or that the guy ahead of me.
You truly are killing it. And I'm looking at a lot of these top brackets that have Kentucky and none of them have the Final Four that you have. Mm-hmm. I'm looking through. And Duke in the Final Four.
Real man.
Hey, do you have Duke in the Final Four?
Yes.
I have Kentucky
over Kansas.
You need Gonzaga to lose. Let's put it that way. You need Gonzaga to lose, and you need them to lose now.
Yeah, and they're losing. They're down 9 at the half, so they're not.
You have
in good
a chance,
shape.
Brian. You have a chance to be one of the best brackets in the entire country. from what I'm looking at. I don't see anybody else.
That would seriously be so sick.
Yeah, nobody. I haven't found one person that has Michigan in the Final Four with the UK on the leaderboard. I've been through like 20 brackets that have Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So you might honestly end up winning ESPN. That'd be so fucking funny. I'm actually rooting for you.
Yeah. What hurt me was
terrible.
I did not do well in a lot of the games that didn't matter. Like a lot of the teams that I had losing in the second round, I got the first round matchup wrong. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I got like all the important ones right, like to advance to like the big shit, but I messed up a lot of the inconsequential games. So that's the one thing that's been hurting me.
Your total that you could possibly have, I think, is 1,160.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm looking at the leaderboard. And you're right up there, dude, with a lot of these guys. Yeah. You're way up there.
If Kentucky loses, it doesn't matter. Like, no, it doesn't matter how good the rest of my bracket is, because I took a huge flyer on Kentucky.
Your potential is off the charts. I think that you're, mm-hmm. I think you're in good shape to at least make the front page of the leaderboard. You can probably frame that shit.
Oh, I definitely would. I've already had a bunch of people being like, holy shit, you have 7 of your 8 Elite 8 still going? Like, they just could not believe it.
So bad. My bracket's beyond bad.
Mm-hmm.
I got the worst bracket. I can only score 720 total points. Like, I'm pretty bad. I'm ranked like 10 million. My Midwest bracket, like I said, I got Duke. That was the only team left. And I have them losing to Michigan State. Yeah, that bracket's shit. The West, I did really well on. I got pretty much a lot of that correct. And the rest are all terrible. The rest are all terrible. So we'll see.
Oh, Jesus. Kansas State just took a 7-point lead. They just hit a 3-pointer.
Uh-oh.
Fuck. I'm nervous about Kansas State, man. Like, Kentucky still has not been able to play that Vanderbilt dude that I was saying was going to be, like, one of the impact players in the whole fucking tournament. He still hasn't played. I don't know what the hell. He twisted his ankle before the Big East tournament, and then, like, Calipari is, like, totally being bitch mode.
Yeah, so, dude.
That's annoying the shit out of me.
I wanted to get more in depth about the quarterbacks, but I couldn't really hear Derek too well on my headphones. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get into too much of a confrontation.
I thought you guys did a really good job. We talked about it for like 40 minutes.
I know, but I literally could break down this position like from fucking head to toe. And I kind of wanted to do that. But it's all right. I didn't really get too much into the metrics that I wanted to, or like the mechanics that I wanted to, but I know that Tim Delp, he trashing Rose, or is trashing Darnold all day to me, talking about his like long wind up. He was like basically trying to say he was Tebow, but no, dude, look, Tom Brady even has that same kind of motion. It's a classic J motion. The only problem is some guys, especially people that play baseball and stuff, they just bring it back up. When they come up to the J, when they release the ball, or they release it farther behind them, but it doesn't matter as long as the timing's there and you get that, and you get that release point, you get that time down, and his time is awesome. It's like 0.39. So 3.39 tenths of a second. He's getting the ball out. That's really good. And, it's not the quickest, but it's really good. And, you know, those are the knocks on him. A lot of knocks are on his footwork and stuff like that, because he was like, once he gets past this 1-2 read, that he's scrambling all over the place. He's, you know, but dude, go watch some of the, if you want, dude, just go to YouTube, look up Sam Darnold's tape, and you will see how quickly that O-line broke down. And mm-hmm. he makes fucking plays. Nobody in the country, literally nobody. And this is why I'm super high on him. This is my biggest attribute for him, and why I'm so high on him. He makes plays out of nothing, and he throws extremely accurate on the run. like really accurate. And he throws a nice touch on the run. He's going to be able to make plays outside the pocket, and he can sit in the pocket and hit some, and he just throws the ball on a dime, man. I am so high on Sam Darnold. I'm to the point where like I would stake something extreme on his success in the NFL. I seriously think that Sam Darnold is a generational talent.
We need to get some stakes going. Like we'll put some like some safety nets in there for you. Like say he gets in like a horrific knee injury or something. Sam Darnold is going to be what, at least a Pro Bowl quarterback, you say?
Oh, for sure. Sam Darnold, by the time his career is over, I think he will be in the Hall of Fame. Barring injury. I think if we're just going to – I mean, that's extreme. I think he will have a Super Bowl victory.
Kardashian. That's just as bad as an injury.
Fuck, I hope not. Yeah, he can't date a Kardashian, and he can't get injured, or else that's the way to play. But I do think that he will be all pro, and I think that – because that's different from being a pro bowler. I think he'll be all pro, and I think, he's definitely going to be a perennial pro bowler. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that get in the Pro Bowl right now, because a lot of quarterbacks drop out or go to the Super Bowl. You know, you have, like – I think Teddy Bridgewater made the Pro Bowl. You know what I mean? And Jameis Winston made the Pro Bowl after throwing all those picks, and Kirk Cousins is in the Pro Bowl like a couple years ago when he probably shouldn't have been. There's a couple guys that there's a bunch of quarterbacks that make the Pro Bowl that aren't that great. So I'm not too concerned about him making the Pro Bowl. I think he'll make the Pro Bowl, you know, dozen times of his career, 15 years. You know, it's like one of those things. But I think that, man, if he sits behind 1 year, gets acclimated to the NFL, gets a rapport with his guys, dude, he's going to be fucking lights out. Browns are finally on the come up. I really think the Browns are going to be a really good franchise. I really do. I think the Browns are turning the corner, man. They made all the right moves, getting Jarvis Landry and all that. I think that they did nothing but show their fans that they're ready to win. I think that parade for the 0-16 and this, the shellacking the fans were giving the organization really struck a chord. And they're like, man, we got to get this shit on the road. We got to get it on the road and go find these players and get Cleveland back to the 60s. So I think the Browns are all right, man. I think the Browns are going to be a pretty good franchise. You see a lot of this shit happening. Like Seattle wasn't very good for a while. And I mean, they did make the Super Bowl with Sean Alexander, but you know, that was more of a flukish season, but they were down for a while, and they created a little mini dynasty over there in Seattle that's now imploded. But you know, they created a hell of a team. You know, for what, 4 or 5 seasons, they're a consensus Super Bowl pick. And I think that's something the Browns could turn themselves into. I think the Browns are gonna be an offensive juggernaut, man. And they just need to keep adding pieces. They don't need to slow down. They need to keep adding pieces. So if the Browns, man, if they got, honest to God, if the Browns could drop from that number 4 pick, say somebody trades up and they end up in like the lower 10s, maybe even like in the teens, and Calvin Ridley drops to them, they need to take Calvin Ridley. Because I'm telling you right now, Calvin Ridley is a fucking monster. Calvin Ridley is going to be an awesome wide receiver in the NFL. He's going to be a number one somewhere.
Do they even need another wide receiver, though, now that they've got Gordon, Landry, and Coleman?
Yeah, Coleman's kind of a bust to me, but I'm talking about the future, man. You can draft Calvin Ridley, and then, I mean, you don't have to worry about Coleman dropping balls. And you don't know how long Josh Gordon's going to be there, and you don't know how long Jarvis Landry's going to stay healthy. I think you just got to keep planning for the future. I think that the Browns need to take 2 quarterbacks in this draft too. I'm not talking like first 10 picks, you know, but I'm talking like sneak in and grab another guy, you know, in the later rounds if they can get him. There's a couple of guys that there's that Richmond quarterback. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He's from Richmond. He's a D3 guy, but he's fucking super accurate, like super accurate. I watched him throw at the combine. Doesn't have the strongest arm, but he throws well on the run, and he's really, really accurate. Yeah. Look him up. He's pretty damn good. I wish my fucking
quarterback NFL draft I typed.
Yeah.
Kyle Lualeta or Lualeta.
Yeah.
There you are.
Yep. Yeah, look out for him, man. He could be like a late flyer that may see starting some games down the road. Huh?
Yeah. I'd say he's the better choice as a sleeper, because I think the guy you picked was like the one right after Lamar Jackson earlier, the Oregon State dude.
Oh. Yeah, I picked Mason Rudolph.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. That's what I talked about. Yeah. No, Rudolph could be pretty good. He's not the best athlete, but you know, he's pretty decent. I don't like Lamar Jackson, but yeah, that Lauletta from Richmond. And then they got that Kentucky quarterback that's not that bad, that Mike White, Western Kentucky. They got that pass happy offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he threw pretty good. But
yeah.
Let's see.
Gonzaga's getting back into it.
Yeah. All right, man. That's it for me.
All right. Well, I guess we'll close with some gems, and then we'll just roll this bitch out. So let's get back.
Right. Okay.
Wow, winning.
Yeah, I've been on a bit of an anime kick lately, and my new one, it's a bit old. But I actually started watching it because they released like a U.S. version, like a movie style. But I'm watching the original Full Metal Alchemist, like the actual Japanese version. And it is really freaking cool. I like it a lot. It's really badass. It's just basically, you know, people use alchemy to convert things into other things, but they have to, you know, there has to be a balance with what they're converting. So like the very beginning of the series, they try to bring their mother back to life, and they put all the elements in that can compose a human being. And, but they didn't put everything in. And so like the one kid, you know, just got his whole body taken away from him. And then the other kid lost his leg and his arm. So the one kid has like metal arm and leg, and he put his brother's soul in like a suit of armor. So like they got fucked up hardcore for trying to do what was called human transmutation. And then they're trying to become better at it so that they can still bring their mom back and get their bodies back. That's kind of the basis of the story. But it's really interesting. I'm like 10 episodes in, and there's like 50 episodes in the original, and then there's another one after that. So I'll definitely continue watching that to its conclusion. And of course, just like Brandon, I've been watching The Office a lot. I'm on season 7. I'm finally caught up to where I was when I stopped watching the show, I think. Because like right now, Holly's about to come back in season 7. And we're getting close to like when Michael leaves. So we're getting there. Like I'm almost to the point where everything's completely new to me, which I'm excited for.
Good,
those,
man.
My gems.
Back. All right, man. I'm good to go then. Yeah. Bellyupsports.com, at BellyUpSports Twitter, BellyUpSports Facebook. Check it out. And at Odds,
yep,
Podcast.
Don't forget,
we'll start getting
at Odds Podcast,
Brian,
on SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. Check us out. And we will see you guys next week. Mega Man time.
All right. Peace.